you are not going to continue to sow the same seed and say the same words and do the same thing and eventually get different results.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland from their prayer cabin in Southwest Arkansas as they begin this week's teaching, Discover the Plan of God and Find His Perfect Will for You. Learn how the words you speak determine your path in life.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast.
Hallelujah.
And welcome to our place in Arkansas. Praise God. Is the bird awake this morning?
Well, I heard word bird once or twice. He'll be up.
He'll be here. Praise God. Every time we've come up, this is the 20th time that we've come up here to do the broadcast, you know. Praise God.
Time flies, Senor. Hey,
amen. And just about every time word bird has showed up, and the first couple of years that we came up here and did this, that bird made so much racket. He's chirping and all. That people wrote in and said, you really need to turn the bird sound effect down. It's a little bit too loud. I'd have had to have a shotgun to turn it down because the dumb bird got right up over the top of this thing and was just, he was really going. He likes it around here. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this place. Yes, we thank you for the Spirit of God and the peace that's upon it. We give you praise and honor today for this broadcast. And we open our hearts, we open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Gloria, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. There is something that Jesus said here that really, this really needs to be implanted just indelibly into every believer's heart and mind. It needs to come right up on the conscious mind because religious ideas and man-made ideas are just exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. And when you do what everybody else thinks and what everybody else says, once we read what he said, you can understand where a lot of trouble comes from in the lives of Christians. And of course in the lives of everybody else, but Jesus straightened all this out in just a minute or two. I mean, you can read this in 30 seconds, but it straightens out and answers the questions that are so prevalent, particularly when things are not going right. And in my lifetime, things have never gone right. I mean, it's they never have since the Garden of Eden anyway.
It's not our fault, is it?
Some of it is. But if it happens to us, it's our fault. But we're in the end times. And what used to be like this, it's come down to where it's like this. You take the same amount of hard times over this many years, and now they're happening every day. And so it's just all the time, every day. It's just turmoil. So listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Now, if you don't have your Bible right now, after the broadcast, you go get it and you read this for yourself. The way that we turn these things around in our household, and I still use a form of this today, but back when we were learning these things, we put them on 3x5 cards and just stuck them up everywhere. And I learned that from a woman. We were preaching down in Florida. I walked in her kitchen. And there were 3x5 cards on every cabinet door, all over the refrigerator. And the funny part of it was, you opened the door and there was another one. And you opened the refrigerator and there'd be something else. Every time she went to the cabinet, she quoted that scripture out loud. Well, it doesn't take long doing that until it gets right up in front of you thinking. Yeah. That's what needs to happen to this. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by the fruit. You can't get one kind of fruit off a different kind of tree. You are not going to continue to sow the same seed and say the same words and do the same thing and eventually get different results.
That's right. What do you call the inside of a tree?
The heart.
That's right. Yeah. I just thought of that. That's good.
That's good, Gloria.
The Lord told me that. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, for instance, now this is the big picture here, but it'll come down to just your own individual self. The most deadly human government experiment in the history of mankind was the experiment with pure socialism in the 20th century, when finally there was a nation, the nation of Russia, who set up a socialist country with absolute rules against anything else. And it killed more people. I mean, over 100 million people died because of that way of government in the 20th century, bloodiest century in the history of human race. And that doesn't include all of them that starved to death. See, Nazi Germany was a socialist government. The National Socialist Workers' Party, that's Nazi in German. So all of these things are failures. They never have been a success. It's the biggest failure of government type in history. Yet we've got people still have the idea that you can make that thing work.
Where people are forced into that way of life.
Yeah,
many of them love God, but they were forced into it.
Yeah. And by being forced into it, forced to live that kind of life, if it was going to work, it would have worked right there. Now, that's just an example.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not here to talk about politics today, but that answers a lot about what's going on around us. Now then, look in verse 34, generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You got one thing in your heart, there's not going to be something else come out your
That's
mouth,
right.
like you said there
That's
a while
exactly
ago.
That's exactly right.
A good man out of the good treasure of the heart, good treasure or good deposit, you can't get something out of there that hadn't been put in there.
You know, I never had really thought that through before, but a pear tree it's got pears on it, has a pear in the heart of that tree.
The heart of that tree.
That comes out and makes manifest.
Now, where did the heart of the tree come from?
The seed
of the tree.
All of it was in the seed.
All of it was in the seed. You can count the number of seeds in a pear or an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in the seed.
That's right.
And the seed has within it its own judgment. You plant it, harvest it, and it comes to pass. It comes to pass the same way every time.
That's right.
And people get the judgment of God confused of where he says, well, you know, they've done that long enough and I'm going to stop it. Plant. No, he's already said, you keep doing that and it'll stop you. Because the wages of sin are death, and you keep sowing that and sowing that and sowing that, and it'll turn into destruction. Every seed has within itself its own destruction, its own judgment, its own
prosperity,
blessing.
Prosperity, yeah.
See, God, all judgment's not bad. God judged Jesus, judged him good. Well, when we joined up with him, we got his judgment.
Oh, yes, thank God.
Now, let me get to this, because the key to this is right here. A good man out of the good deposit of his heart brings forth good thing. Mm-hmm. You see where things are coming forth?
Yes,
from?
Mm-hmm.
All right. An evil man. What is an evil man in the eyes of the word? Well, that's somebody that's a murderer. No. The Bible says an evil heart is a heart of unbelief.
That's right.
What is unbelief? Not non-belief. You can't not believe something.
You're believing something.
You're believing something.
Okay.
Unbelief in the eyes of the Bible is believing something other than the Bible. If a guy's driving a Ford car and he's got a Chevrolet book and he's reading the Chevrolet book, but it ain't working right, now what's the matter here? Well, one or the other is unbelief because he's trying to mix the two. He needs to get him a Ford book or get him a Chevrolet.
That's a good point.
You got to match up the if you're believing something other than the Bible, it's unbelief. Now, listen to what Jesus said. I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, that's inoperative, words of confusion and Babylonian-based ideas of words, like, look at that great big dog, and it's a chihuahua.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's funny. No, it isn't funny, it's confusing. they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, for by your words, you shall be justified. By your words, you shall be condemned. Now, I want you to see this. There's no such thing as a word that doesn't count. Now, all words don't have to be serious.
Yeah.
But you don't want to use foul words to create humor.
That's right.
Because you have to stand judgment for those. You don't do humor at the expense of someone else. That's not humor. And all of that, that's another study in itself. But the whole thing I want you to get right here is that there's no such thing as a word that doesn't count. So you're going to have to be accountable word that you that comes out of your mouth.
That's
Thank
right.
God for the blood of Jesus and crop failure.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go to the book of Acts.
It's a powerful scripture.
In the book of Acts, this 27th chapter, let's start with the 9th verse. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished, saying, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Now, make a note of that. That's the 10th verse. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious in winter, the more part advised to depart there, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and winter there. They didn't like the hotel accommodations in that little town, so let's get out of here. We're going over there.
I've been to that town.
Yeah, I have. But now listen, see, they weren't listening. They weren't listening to the man of God. They were listening to their own pocketbooks and their own circumstances. Now,
natural thinking.
And they knew better. Here's the thing of it is, they knew better than to sail out of there that time of year. They knew better than to do that. They were professional sailors. They knew better than to do that. The owner of the ship put pressure on them. And just because they got a little light wind one day, they thought they'd take a chance on it. And here's this man of God said, boys, you better not do this. I believe I know what I'm talking about here. I perceive this thing's in trouble if we sail out of here. Now, the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing there the sail close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. They named storms back there in those days also. Now, Gloria, there still are three classes of wind. Breeze, gale, and tempest. Now, if you look in your English dictionary at the word hurricane, it is any tempest wind or tempestuous wind. It's a wind on the level of tempest. Now, today, we have ways of measuring it in miles an hour and so forth, but this is still the base of it today. It's you've either got a breeze or you've got a gale or you've got a tempest or hurricane force. Well, you go look up hurricane force and it says tempest. So it's still that same thing.
So in Arkansas, we have a breeze. In Texas, we have a wind.
Yeah. A gale.
Gale.
Now, the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They sailed into a hurricane. Now, think about how a hurricane functions, Gloria. This thing is circling. You know, we can see them on radar. Mm-hmm. And you see the eye in the middle and everything circling around the eye. But it's not just sitting in one place going round, round, round. It's circling, but it's moving. So this whole mass is circling around that eye, and the whole mass is moving across the ocean. However fast, 25 to some cases, you know, 35, 40 mile an hour thing going across the ocean. Well, now that little ship, no power, they sail into that thing. They're going around and around the eye. And at the same time, they're moving across the ocean. They don't have a clue what's going on in there.
The radar is not working.
It's not working. Now listen to this. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away.
Looked pretty bad.
Many days. Now, you come on down here, the 27th verse, when the 14th night was come. 2 weeks.
That would be awesome.
Doing this.
Wow.
Now, I'm laying what we're going to study this week on top of this base, this circumstance and situation here. Now, the Apostle Paul told
them.
All hope was gone.
Was gone.
Including his. He didn't have any hope either because he's the one writing this. And he said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. You should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now, what if he just stopped right there? Oh, why they wouldn't listen to me? Now we're going to all die because them fools wouldn't listen. It ain't my fault we're out here in the middle of this storm going around in a circle around, around, around about to die. We're all going to die. Oh, God, we're all going to die. Oh, we're all going to die. Oh, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. If we don't drown, we're going to puke ourselves to death.
We get it.
What good would that have done?
None. It just made it worse.
None. Here's the word of the Lord that came to me that really, really got to me over this. The Apostle Paul could have blamed his situation on everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Been easy, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because he didn't want to be there.
I mean, he told them. Mm-hmm. But now he's a prisoner. He couldn't refuse to go. He had to go. He stuck with this. God, what am I going to do? They got me on this deal, and I told them, we're going to drown.
We're going to die. No, he didn't say that.
What good would that have done him? Absolutely none whatsoever.
He would have perished.
He would have died out there in the middle of the ocean with that deal. But now look what happened here. See, he came out here and told them that. Mm-hmm. He said, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But he didn't stop there. He said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. What? Be of good cheer? Are you kidding? Cheer up? Boy, can you get that preacher in the middle of all of this? I'm throwing up and he says, cheer up. I mean, what? What? Doesn't make any sense. But words have power over the biggest storms known to man.
First word in verse 24 is saying.
Yeah.
Saying.
Now, look what happened there. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with you. Now, here's what we're going to be looking into. God has a plan.
That's right.
That angel could have said a lot of different things and have faith, Paul. God will deliver you and all that. But he cut it right to the heart of the chase. And he said, it is not God's plan for you to sink and go under out here in the ocean. It is God's plan for you to go before Rome. Well, now, he already knew that. He knew he's supposed to go before Rome. That's why he got in this in the first place. They were ready to let him go. And he said, no, I appeal to Caesar. And they talked among themselves and said, what kind of fool is he? I mean, we were of a mind to let him go. But he's appealed to Rome, and now we got to put him in chains and send him to Rome. He knew the plan of God. Now, here's where we're going to start tomorrow. When that angel reminded that apostle of God's plan, the plan in the man got bigger than the storm.
Praise. Plan in the man. I like that.
Ah,
hallelujah.
Whoa. Once he saw the plan, wow, what kind of storm is this? No. I got to go to Rome, brother. I ain't quitting here.
That's good.
You boys are going to be all right if you listen to me because I'm going to Rome and you can go with me. We're going to make it. We are going to make it.
Praise God.
Hope came back when they got their minds on the plan of God.
Praise God.
Now, there was only one man on that ship that knew God's plan. They based all of their planning on the wind, money, and hotel rooms. He based his faith on the plan of God. He knew what the plan was. And one man with God's plan is more powerful than all the rest of those men, all that storm.
And they sailed right
into a healing revival.
It's more powerful than all circumstances that can come.
What about the snake that bit him on the hand?
Remember,
he's got the plan on his mind. And that snake gonna stop me, I gotta go to Rome.
He knew the plan.
What if
he hadn't known the plan? He wouldn't have had the faith.
They never would have got to shore in the first
place.
Right. Because they were all fixing to jump overboard. That's brilliant.
That was brilliant.
We're out of time. Gloria and I will be back here in just a moment.
Come home to the Homecoming 2010 30th Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, August 2nd through 7th. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a partner meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches Healing School. 1440 Student Ministries is available for ages 13 through 18, and the Super Kid Academy will be in session for kids ages 6 through 12. It's all free August 2nd through 7th in Fort Worth, Texas. God loves you. He is interested in you and is committed to helping you build rewarding relationships and lasting connections that make your life fulfilling. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have put together a 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. This simple, practical, devotional resource will help you develop, improve, and maximize all the relationships in your life, from marriage and family to friendships and workplace connections. The CD and DVD teachings, interactive devotional questions, and action plan will help you know that you're loved and accepted by God. You'll discover how to cultivate and experience relationships with others that are encouraging, satisfying, and lasting. In less than 2 weeks, you'll find yourself enjoying your relationships more. It's all part of your personal 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. Order our newest Lifeline kit, Building Relationships That Last, by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, available now for just $19.99. Start building strong, rewarding, godly relationships with this 10-day spiritual action plan. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order your Building Relationships That Last Lifeline kit online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call our toll-free number, or you can write to us. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
Oh, I like that. The plan was bigger than the storm.
Wasn't that good?
Just one word from God can just change everything.
That's right.
Gloria, this is our newest Lifeline kit. I really do like these Lifeline kits. They're built so that you can take 10 days of total immersion. I mean, where you just don't do anything else for about 10 days, or at least do it every day a certain amount of time. And you've got DVD, you've got CDs. You can watch them all together, listen to them in your car and that kind of thing. And then the study book, all the scriptures and so forth that go along with it. These things are really, really strong.
They are.
I wish somebody had something like this
started. We just didn't have any.
We had to make it up as we went along.
Except the Bible.
We had some little mimeograph copies, and that helped.
Absolutely.
It was really a help. But
that's a great plan.
Experiencing those things back there then is what's given us the experience for our staff and so forth to put these things together. And this one is really good. It'll help your marriage, your family, your church.
Relationships.
So it'll renew your mind to what God says about relationships and building relationships and friendships and marriages that really last.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Over our partners and over this radio and television audience all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 week, homecoming, 2010, year number 30, August the 2nd through the 7th in Fort Worth, Texas. I mean,
that's been a long relationship.
That's been a good one too, praise God. I tell you, Phil Driscoll's gonna be there and everybody else is gonna be there. You gotta be there. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.